Hello and welcome to the Behind the Player podcast brought to you by Survival Challenge. I'm your host today, William Hermanot, and our guest today and our very first survivor on the podcast is none other than Dr. Jill, who played both in Season 3 and Season 6. Jill, how are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you for having me on, William. Welcome.
It's an absolute pleasure. We were just talking before. We're just like kind of like chit-chatting stuff, and we couldn't help but naturally start talking about stuff. So we're like, all right, well, let's get into it. So here we are talking about your experience, which you have a lot of experience with Survivor games, both Survivor in itself, but also live games. Give us a brief rundown of all of the things that you've played in.
All the games. Well, I guess the first would be Survivor Nicaragua, the CBS show, Survivor 21. I guess we're numbering them now. Actually, we numbered them as contestants. We know each other by numbers more than by season names because they're just easier to keep track of. And then about, well, six years ago, somebody, I think it was Big Mike, invited me to be on Survival Challenge in Maine, which would have been your Survivor Challenge Season 3. Yep. And then I continued to come back and volunteer for a couple of years after that in Maine. And then when you guys made the transition to Illinois, I was invited to play in that season. And that kind of turned out somewhat interesting. And after that, I don't even know if this is part of Survivor Challenge, but Bill Weibel, who's a longtime Survivor fan and proponent of these things, did the Battle of the Bush in Africa. And I think in 2019, I went over with a group of survivors and some alumni from Survivor Challenge to play in that. And I think that's all. And there is some side one called Survivor Palooza, which we can talk about later, which is my own personal one. But if there's time, I'll talk to you about that later. That's my Survivor resume.
So let's kind of pick off from once you were done with Survivor, did you immediately think that I want to do either Survivor again or any other Survivor like experience I can get my hands on? Was that a thought that you had right after you finished your Survivor season?
I think everybody, well, it's a weird, like when you're on, like, let's call it the real show, it's everybody goes through the same psychological process. I think even the winners, it was funny when Wendell and I talked in South Africa, he was complaining about his edit, and it was so revealing to me. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, you won the show and you don't even like your edit. Like, I mean, and I suppose that's possible, but most of us, the process is like you get off the show that you've tried so long and so hard to get on, and all but one person wins. So everyone is completely dissatisfied, everyone but one person. And then even then, dissatisfied with how they did and how they are portrayed. So you immediately want to go back. And then you go through the process of lying in bed at night, which, and everyone listening to this, if you're involved in Survivor Challenge, you guys have all done too, dissecting your game, like, well, what if I'd have done this? What if I'd have done that? And you play the what if game, you know? And just for me personally, I was not all that big of a character, and I was pre-merged, so the odds of me ever getting asked back were very, very slim. So Survivor Challenge was super, super significant for me because particularly in Season 3 when I went back, I did, I think, pretty well, coming in wet second, but proving to myself that I can play the game. And so it was just extremely cathartic, the whole experience for me. But I wasn't like obsessed with like playing again. It was more just kind of a fun thing because I had my experience and I'm pretty reasonable about the fact that I'm not going to go back on. Like, I know a lot of my friends within the Survivor community have gotten calls and they're like always have that expectation. So they're almost more disappointed. But I don't know. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, honestly, there's no wrong answer to it. I think the
I know. Sometimes I can go off on a tangent and babble and not answer the question at all.
That's what we're here for, is just the verbal barfing, you know? but yeah, so as someone who's played Survival Challenge myself and talked to obviously several other people who have played Survival Challenge, the act of immediately wanting to go back in and improve upon your performance couldn't be more real. I was just kind of like, as we're getting ready for season 8, I was re-listening to the podcast where I was being interviewed about my experience, it kind of like kind of freshened up on like what I thought my experience was like briefly after my game, because now that was like a whole year ago. And just that, I remember one of the things I was saying is that I was critical of like John Hamer, who has been on the game 3 times now. I thought, now that granted, this is from donations, so it's literally well earned. But I was just like, man, it seems a bit like selfish to be on so many times. But after being honest, like I would do anything to get back on in a heartbeat. And I was just like, you know what? I don't even shame him anymore. Like if I had the opportunity to go on a third time, I wouldn't even care if it was selfish or not. I'd just do it. So.
No. John has only played 3 times. Gosh, it feels like more.
Because he was on your season. Yeah, he was on your season too. And he joins that very small list of people who have played both in the main location and the Illinois location. And you obviously being one of them and then the only survivor to do so. Okay. So, yeah, that puts you in small but good company. So how did you tell me the process about how you, so you said, I think Michael got you in contact for season 3. So what was that process like of finding out about Survival Challenge and ultimately joining that?
I think I was asked, I think Michael coordinated it. And at that point I didn't really know anybody. I didn't know, John, Steven, actually never met Bob Crowley for that matter, but they asked me and it was for Wounded Warriors, which I am a huge proponent of. And so I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And they said there were other survivors there. And I didn't really, at that time, there wasn't as good of a media presence as what we have now. So there was very little other than some pictures and the survivor presence hadn't been so, pronounced. I think before you'd had survivors that were like sort of leaders of the team, but they were competing, but not really, or they weren't like in it. And John had told me that, I don't know if they told us right up front there was going to be a tribe of survivors, but I don't know. I just knew that there were other survivors in it. And I think they did that to just sort of get us to all play. And so, I went up there with very little expectations. I really didn't know much about it. Hadn't seen any like podcasts or shows. I don't think it was YouTubed at that time. And it evolved into this like wonderful, magical, very real survivor experience. In fact, they came off with just like the highest praise to anybody. Like if you want the real survivor experience, like the misery was real, the starvation was real. It was very compressed, mind you. Now the game was quite different because back then I think you guys as Survivor has done evolved. I think Survivor Challenge has also evolved because the compressed game style, at least particularly in season 3, there was that very little time to like, you don't have those 3 days to work on people and sway votes and change people's minds. I mean, in essence, we had our boot order like set from like minute 1 and we just stuck with it. And there was very little time to change anybody's minds. And I think you guys have done things in subsequent games to try and mix it up and allow people that time to change people's minds and things like that. So, but as far as going in, the challenge legitimacy was just incredible when you had, Kevin, who's passed away, and Kathy Dubar, and these just fabulous engineers with these challenges, completely survivor-worthy ones. And it was just a great, great experience. I just can't say enough good about it.
We have Andy here, who knows much more about season 3 than I do, because I had yet to join the ranks of DWSC at that point. Andy, do you have any interesting tidbits about the casting of Jill and bringing her into season 3 in the Survival Challenge family?
First of all, sorry for jumping the gun there. I just very excited to talk to Dr. Jill. Always am. Always been one of my favorites. And what you were saying, Dr. Jill, about how your cast, particularly the survivors in it, was sort of a big leap forward for us. We it was substantively different. And so we handled it a little differently when it came to you. We didn't tell anybody that other the names of any other survivors, but we certainly were trying to assure you and the others who ended up playing that the game was, they wouldn't be stranded. And obviously, you know what being stranded as a sole survivor in the game is like when you played the second time. So, I joined production after having played in season two, and the my earliest conversations with John were to try to ratchet up how realistic everything is. In season two, we had three survivors, but you know they all played. Kathy Sleckman, who I adore dearly, was, you know, sort of took on the role of being an entertainer and an ambassador and was willing to leave early so fans could stay in the game. And Kobe and Matt both played, very straightforward, very strong games. But it was just different in season three. And we kind of knew that out of the gate that, once they, Dr. Jill and others got a read on the field, they were there to play. And there was going to be no messing around. There was going to be nobody throwing in the towel or trying to make it easy on our players, which is exactly what we were hoping for. And I know Bob at some point talked to the various survivors saying, please play your best and strongest games because we want this to be legit. And we spent a lot of time and effort trying to make it as legit as possible. And it's always heartwarming to hear when, people who have been out there in the real thing end up being, praising the verisimilitude of the game, because that's what we're always trying to do every year is make it more and more realistic within the confines of a shorter game. And that's, in season three remains a highlight that production talks about all the time, in that we've never had as strong a group of survivors playing as collectively as strong a game and just letting our fan base and our players, showing them how it's done.
Well, actually, it's funny you mentioned that because, I mean, we did come to play and I don't know what happened with our group, but we were almost an unnaturally cohesive group. Like, I don't think I've ever had quite such a bond with these people. Like, as we all do, right? We still keep in touch with our cast, but it was a really, really deep bond. And I don't know if it was because we were all survivors or just what the chemistry was, but we, as you know, we won so much. They were almost too much. In fact, the crowd turned on us. Like, I can remember leaving the field one time and I was like, Joel, they're booing us. Like, we're supposed to be the favorites here. Like, we're supposed to be the draw. And they were literally booing us because we had won so much. And then they were like, these fans, they pay money to come here and you're taking the experience away from them. And, and we were kind of like, well, you told us to play and we're survivors. Like, what are we supposed to do? It was horrible there for a minute, Ooh.
Well, two things to say about that. One, it remains one of my, we learn something every year in production and we learn about ourselves and the roles that we play. And if I could go back in time and take away some of those merge night questions about, how do you feel about crushing the dreams of people who have paid to come out here and get an experience, because you were doing exactly what we hoped and wanted and expected out of survivors. They were the wrong questions to be asking. It should have been questions like, how are you going to continue to crush the hopes and dreams? Because you're in the game and you're having as real an experience as everybody else. I think I've talked with you about this before, Dr. Jill, but the watching, one of my favorite things to do is to watch the Merge Night camp. and watching you guys and seeing the excitement that even, you know, people who had been on the real show were having, because some of you hadn't made the merge, and there was sort of this giddiness around, you know, in your seasons. But in this game, you were not only had you made the merge, but you were in a very strong position. And there was just joy in watching you guys talk to people, but you were also playing the game, and that you were getting people focused on you guys telling stories so that people couldn't gang up on you, because technically they had the numbers if they had wanted to unite as newbies against you. But anyway, I shouldn't have been asking those kinds of questions. Because, you know, everyone's there to play. So I had another point, but I totally lost it.
I think to tack onto what you were saying, Andy, I think out of all the survivors, right, who we've had questions of, are they trying their hardest? Are they purposely going a little bit easy? I think Jill stands as one of those few survivors where I don't think there was ever a point where we questioned if she was playing her hardest. It was very clear that she was here to win. And I personally love that. And then I would argue, because she went to Final Tribal Council, she was probably even though we haven't had a Survivor winner, she probably had the best case to win Survival Challenge as a Survivor out of all the players that we've had after going all the way and just, you know, really showing that she was here to win. And I think it just came down to the jury at that point. But I think there's many scenarios or versions of WDSC 3 where Jill wins at the end.
If I can, I don't want to put Dr. Jill on the spot, and I'm not going to really ask this question, but it has always been in the back of my mind that.
But yet you're going to, so go ahead.
No, just the tiniest bit.
I don't care. Feel free. I totally just anything.
I think that Dr. Jill did something truly masterful, which is, yes,
I think it was pretty idiotic, but carry on.
Which is to play her strongest game, to have an argument at the end, but also give the jury an opportunity to reward a newbie. Make the jury have to choose a survivor that played an exceptional game or a newbie who had played a solid game who was aligned with her. And she left it up to them, as opposed to maybe being truly cutthroat post-merge, and made sure that it was only survivors left at the end. My pet theory, I have no proof to this, other than Dr. Jill got to the end and she made her argument and she had my vote. Sadly, you know, for her, I was not on the jury.
Well, I'd love to feel as though I was the magnanimous, gracious person that you paint me, Andy, but I think it's largely not true. I don't want to sound like an elitist, but my biggest flaw in Survivor, and it was in Nicaragua and it's in here, is loyalty. And basically it just came down to, I was loyal. I had like a hierarchy. I was loyal to Joel. He was my like ride or die, just like Marty was. And then Brooke next, and then Troy next. And then I couldn't take all of us. So that's why I got rid of Troy. And then we just figured there's no way in God's green earth that Wendy was going to win. And God bless her, she won that challenge she needed to. And I think that I may have had a shot at winning if I'd have let Joel just bow out like he wanted to. But I told him that I would take him to the end. And I basically insisted, and I sort of talked him out of bowing out. And so he had the fire challenge with Brooke. And so I think if Joel goes to the jury, Joel votes for me. Probably will get several people on the jury, the survivors that went out. I don't know. I had a better shot if sitting next to Brooke, maybe, than sitting next to Joel. But no, I didn't do it on purpose. I was still playing hard to the end. And that Wendy earned that 100%. That was not a gift to her at all.
I like hearing that. I like hearing that a lot. Because I've told Wendy many times, and if she ends up listening to this, I've always been impressed with her game. And you know, she played the game that was in front of her. And you know, as we say, a win is a win is a win, right? She had the qualities that the jury opted to go for. And I know the other point I wanted to make. You mentioned the booing. We've never seen anything quite like it. And it all revolved around another production favorite, Mr. Matt McCarthy, who had been in good with you guys and then pinged pretty hard on your radar. And as to somebody who was starting to take his game into his own hands and had to be dealt with. And when it was clear that you were potentially taking him out, boy, did that crowd go nuts.
I know. Everyone loves an underdog, right? And then I like to argue with the survivors that would won. I think Adam clearly is an extremely masterful player, and had he stayed in, he took himself out because he didn't. I truly, this game has gotten the Survivor Challenge has gotten so much notoriety, even in the Survivor community, that he did not want to put himself back on the radar as somebody who, I think he wanted to paint his own Survivor win, Millennials versus Gen X, as a fluke, and he didn't want to come out to challenge, Durham Warriors and win. So I think he would have won easily. John Raymond at that point was an underdog. And if he had won that challenge, I think he would have won. So I think there's plenty of other survivors that could have won easily.
I agree. I think, you know, there's always been some extenuating circumstance. John Raymond, obviously, he swung in towards the end, became the crowd favorite and an underdog. And I have nothing but praise for Adam's game. He controlled that. Certainly didn't want to, the potential for a returnee season, which ultimately became the all-winner season, he didn't want anyone being able to point to success in any other way. Like you said, he wanted it to seem like it was a fluke because everyone wants to remove whatever targets they can. So, survivors in general have played very well for us. Not to blow too much sunshine your way, Dr. Jill, but you guys kind of let everyone know that was okay. Again, the players in my season, the survivors, did the same. But you guys really, and you mentioned before about video and all the various stuff that people can watch now. That's out there for them to see. And any survivors who end up playing in the SC see what you guys did and, become something that they can hope to emulate.
Yeah, and I do think it is a nice second chance for people who have played Survivor to get their second chance, like I did, and I was very happy with how that turned out. And then people who have never played and may never get to play on the real show to have that kind of experience, because I think the feelings are just as intense, just as passionate, the games are just as good, and the suffering is just as real. It just goes on a little longer for 39 days. But you'll never hear any of the survivors say anything but fabulous things about it. Except for me for like maybe 10 minutes after 2018, but I got over that.
That's when you're allowed, everyone's allowed their salty period, you know? So everyone's allowed to have that time where they're like,
Yeah, I was pretty salty about that one. Well, the tragedy of it is that, like, Andy, do you remember, did John tell me I would be the only one playing before I actually got there?
No, and we talked briefly you probably don't remember this conversation, but we had, John and I did a long conversation. There were supposed to be other survivors, and that year there was some sort of airline strike or something happened where a whole bunch of flights ended up getting messed up. And I'm sure John would prefer I not mention names.
It was American Airlines that got hacked.
I knew that.
That's what happened.
I knew that somebody had bagged out, and then I knew that there was the airline glitch, but I'm not sure when I started the game if you guys gave me the chance of not playing, because at that point I had invested, you know, like I block out patients, I take vacation, I drove 10 hours there. And in particular, this was like a transition year, right? Because there was a lot of potential for momentum to be lost. So I thought it was super important for there to be a good survivor presence and to participate and support it. So I felt really strongly. And so I get there, and I think I ended up being the only survivor, and literally nobody would even talk to me, and nobody wanted to work with me. And so consequently, it's like, I didn't even have any friends from the season of 2018, because people were polite, but they literally did not even want to be seen like talking to me like at all. Cause it's like, oh, they might be working with Dr. Jill, you know? So I, with the least power out there, like left that show with like zero friends, like Jack actually though, because you know, Jack, we started a Fortnite group, and that's when I started to get really close to Ryan Kaiser, because Jack and Bryce and Ryan and I started a regular Fortnite group after that season. But I literally had no friends, and the whole thing just made me kind of sad. So in retrospect, I wish I had not played, and just John would have pulled me out and let me do something like exit interviews or something, because it was just you know, kind of a letdown. And I feel like I didn't get to make any friends, and I felt kind of isolated. So
yeah, and we. Frankly, felt horrible in that. Because we talked about it, but the pieces hadn't fallen out by the time the game started. We've had this happen a few times with players and survivors alike, where they tell us maybe I'll be able to get there, and we talk about ways to insert them not too deep into the game. So like a few hours in, if they can catch a different flight or whatever. And at least one of the other survivors, because of the American Airlines thing, was still saying, I will be there and I will play. Wow. And so we went back and forth on like, do we tell Dr. Jill? Do we want to give you exactly what you were saying, the opportunity to not play? But it was like, well, we might actually be able to get other survivors in there. And so let's just roll with it as it is. And that's when I ended up talking with you and letting you know you were the only one, but that's not how we wanted it to be. And not how we were expecting it to be. And so, yeah, you ended up being very isolated, and it was awkward, and, you know, again, didn't want it to be that way. It's a testament to you that, you know, you still have such affection for the event, having gone through that experience, because and that was, you know, a season of like horrible weather, like there was nothing to recommend it for you.
And I don't blame you guys one bit, absolutely. And to be honest, if I was a better survivor player, I would have done something like, you know, and the jury said, hey, you know, John gave me three idols, one for each survivor that didn't show up, and you know, but really, I mean, I could have done something, but I'm a wretched survivor player, so I did not get, you know, that did not occur to me. It just made me sad, because you know, there were a lot of big characters in that season, and I didn't really get to meet that many of them. But still, moving on, the William, your season was obviously just like a highlight of like evolution in Survivor Challenge, and they just keep getting better and better, and it's just been great ever since. So yeah, no, I would always continue to advocate for people playing, and I think it's just going to keep getting better and better.
Yeah, just wait to see what we have in store this year. We've had 2 years to come up with shenanigans.
Excellent.
But go ahead.
Sorry. I just, as an aside, how old is Bentley now? Because I know he had a birthday. Wow.
Yeah, no, he's 15. Which gets me every time I think about it. Because, you know, when the event started, you know, there are pictures of him like a little 9-year-old, being in awe of, you know, being around survivors, and you know, kicking around the Crowley farm. And, you know, now this year he's going to be out there setting up challenges and helping us out as we run around in the woods.
Very cool. So cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I've always been, you know, heartened by how much everybody embraces him and, you know, his role. I mean, the volunteer team and, you know, the survivors who all have all been, it becomes that big family. Again, I mean, feeding into what we were saying about like your great first experience and very much wanting, I'm sure, not just the game, but just the connections you make with other players, wanting to have that again in season six. You know, it has such a potential to be such a heartwarming experience for everybody. That's obviously what we want it to be, which is why we keep trying to tinker, not just at the edges, but at the heart of it all, just trying to, you know, do some stuff that's even like the real survivor can't or isn't really as interested in. It happens because it's, you know, 39 days and the suffering is more and the bonding is deeper. But like one of the things that we like to do is have survivors whose stories on the show weren't what they necessarily hoped they would be. And this is a second chance.
So for those who don't know or listening, there used to be before social media got really exploded, it was a lot harder to communicate. And there was a message board called Survivor Sucks where people were like really, really mean and nasty, but it was also a place to go. It was like one of the only places to go for information about Survivor. So like when calls were going out and interview processes and stuff like that. So Andy and I was sort of knew you vicariously through that. So it was just a really cool experience for you to paddle out and you sort of picked my brain. And it was just a very, and it was a beautiful day, sunny, and we just paddled out. And it was just really, really cool and special to me. That always stands kind of in my mind. So I just want you to know that.
That warms my heart more than you know, insofar as it's one of my favorite Survivor memories as well. You know, in part, because we had been aware of each other before then, we had even played Words with Friends before
you
then. The row out there, it was a what we rarely get on the production side, sort of an extended stretch of time to just really connect with a player and just, you know, talk about what their approach might be and, you know, how they're feeling and, you know, how, you know, what their approach is going to be. And you straddled the line perfectly between, you know, someone who was out there for an experience and, you know, we're excited to play. You were sort of downplaying how fast and hard you wanted to play and, you know, and sort of how you had played in your season on the show. At sort of towards the end of that, I pointed out, like, I didn't fully buy that you weren't going to bring your A game. I think you would cop to this, Dr. Jill, that there is a benevolent intensity to you. It's just, you're so friendly, so kind. But there's that competitive edge there. And, I could see it, I could feel it. And I was like, she's going to play hard and she's going to play well.
I don't know about benevolence, but intensity maybe. And then my next experience after this, and Andy, you'll get I don't know if I ever told you this, but well, you know what happened. So in my season, the survivors were stranded. There was a tribe of six of us, and they were stranded, and we're supposed to partner up in pairs and then sort of make our way to the camp. So I was paired with Jamie Newton from Survivor Guatemala, who is, I love him to death, but I don't even know what adjective. Andy, he's just such an idiot. So we're paddling out, right? And I see a little thing of apples and a reward on a beaver dam. Clearly something, you know, to file away for later. Something going on here. So we paddle far away from it. And then so they strand me and say, you know, paddle until you see your flag and then you'll know what to do. And it's only like a mile. So, I mean, I kayak and stuff. So I'm paddling out. So I paddled for like an hour, never saw anybody or anything. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going back to that beaver dam because I saw food there and there's going to be something occurring there. So if I just go there, something's going to happen. Well, unbeknownst to me, Jamie had gone to his flag and had instructions to meet me, ripped the flag down and just started walking off into the woods for God knows where, you know, New Hampshire, for all I know. I don't know why he did it. He's just, that's just him, you know? So I'm totally alone. So I go to the beaver dam. I sort of snag the food. I pull my kayak up or the canoe. And I just had the most massive panic attack I've ever had in my entire life. Because I was like, oh my God, they're going to strand me out here all day, all night. I think there are bears in Maine. I'm not sure. So I got out the paddle. I was like, can I use this as a weapon? And I had the most stationary freak out you've ever seen in your entire life. And that lasted for like 10 minutes. Then Jimmy T and Nina Porsche came paddling up. But oh my God, I think you guys almost stopped my heart that season.
I did not know the intensity of your reaction. It helps explain, because that's one of my more abiding Dr. Jill memories, was this, once we got back to the mainland, back into the main game area, you asked me about this and there was some concern over like what the heck happened out there. And I had talked with John about like how much we could explain. And he was like, you know what? Let them talk to each other and figure out what happened. We shouldn't tell. And I tried to explain like, no, I think Dr. Jill was upset. And so your the panic attack helps explain what I was reading off of you, because I really wanted to explain it, but John was like, no, don't tell her. They'll figure it out. But you know, everything you said is true. That Jamie had sat there for a little while, got bored, and not only did he leave his station for parts unknown, but he took the flag with him, so you wouldn't even have a signal as to where you were supposed to go. And thank goodness that you had seen something and knew to go back there. But like Jamie, we were paddling around for a good 45 minutes, like, where is he? Until we finally heard some crashing in the woods, and we're like, well, that's either a bear or that's Jamie. Jamie. We finally flagged him down and told him to, because he was heading in a direction where he wouldn't run into anyone or anything besides wildlife for a good hour. So we're lucky we found him when we did, and drag him back to the game. But again, another thing we felt bad about, where it's like best laid plans, you know, all the time. And we talk all the time about, like, there's a handful of players who have been, shall we say, wrecking balls in the game, where they sort of ping off things where we realize, wait a minute, we don't have as many guardrails as we thought we did. And so when we think about challenges or opening setups, one of the things we still actively talk about is we need to Jamie-proof this.
Jamie-proof this. I can see that. Absolutely. You know, everything works out, though, you know, because I thought about that, because sometimes you bond very strongly with the first person you meet or see out there. That's just a thing that happens even in the real game. And if I'd have been with Jamie, I probably would have bonded with him because he was a jock in college. And had I gotten with him, I may have, you know, tried to bond with him first. But as it was, I had nobody. And that's when I sort of hooked up with Joel, who, you know, to this day, we still are like extremely close and extremely bonded. So it all worked out okay. It was just I didn't really have like a panic attack. It was just like a lot of accelerated thinking in my brain, and so like I don't want you to think I was like, you know, upset or anything. I mean, I was just kind of like, holy crap, you know, like what are we gonna do? So it was but it was really fun, and it was, yeah, that those are some great in fact, this stands alone as in the just definitely top 10 weekends of my life, like just as far as like sheer fun for a weekend, and then fun that has lasted because I've kept up with my cast and you guys, and some of the people that I've met have been very special. So thank you for that.
Well, that's you know, one of the things that we are shooting for is just, you know, which is an odd thing given how, what the game asks of people, you know, being ruthless, voting each other out, but we want everyone to be, you know, friends and connected afterwards. And, yeah. But you know, that tends to be, what happens. And, it was interesting to me that, how well you bonded with Joel and the other survivors, but particularly Joel, because, you know, I don't know, there's a weird dichotomy, at least for me on the production side, where because the newbies are being immersed in this kind of thing for the first time, you know, they reach out and bond with each other. But it's kind of like survivors when they go out and play in their second season. They're a little bit more guarded. They're less naive, more like they don't give themselves over fully to the experience in the same way because it's not new. I mean, there are benefits that come with that. And so it was always that feeling of like, will survivors, you know, immerse themselves the same way and make the same kind of bonds. And then when we see it happen, it's like, oh, no, it's kind of the same for everybody. It's a great equalizer having everybody. You're out there and you have a game in front of you to play. But what is it about Joel that spoke to you so strongly and made you guys your ride or die?
Say other than, you know, you play the hand you're dealt. So when I look around at my people, right, I have six people to deal with. Nina, I tend to gravitate towards men just because I'm very masculine in my hobbies. I hunt, I do sword fighting, I, you know, magic, comic books. They all seem to be like male dominated sports or things. So I always, not that I wouldn't work with women, because I mean, I have the Survivor Mom Squad that I run around with, and I love those guys to death. But as far as like in game, I would prefer a male to work with. And so Jamie had already proven himself extremely unreliable, so he was out. And Troy is a bit of a hippie Fruit Loop guy, you know, kind of artsy craftsy, and there's just, you know, that wasn't going to work. So in some ways, Joel was kind of like a default. But we ended up having just a ton in common because he's just like a farm boy from Wisconsin. And he's just, I don't know, just something about, you just don't know who you get. Like sometimes there's no explanation for who you get along with really well. And I think we just had enough in common and we had similar backgrounds in that, I don't know, I just can't put a finger on it. So we just really, and I think he's a loyal player. You know, he's not, there's nothing shifty about Joel. And I think I maybe sensed that. So I don't know. It ended up being a good thing. And I'm still close with Brooke though. And that's one of my big regrets is not being more loyal to her and taking Troy out, you know? So, I mean, everyone has regrets in their game and my regrets, but we're all still friends from it. Nobody harbors much ill will over Survivor Challenge, which is good. And even in the real game, most people have patched things up pretty well too. So, but let me speak a little bit more on friendships because I do want to talk about Survivor Palooza. So, Andy, you know a little bit about this. So it actually happened. I mentioned the Fortnite game we play on these squads with. I didn't know Ryan all that well after a season, but now we, you know, play Fortnite several times a week. And so I was playing one time and I talked to Jack and I said, wouldn't it be cool if we had like a Survivor weekend? So instead of Survivor Challenge, instead of voting people out, you just basically all did challenges. And so everyone would bring a challenge and you just go through the weekend and keep score and just keep track of that. And at the end of the weekend, because in Survivor Challenge and the real Survivor, once you're out, the fun kind of ends, right? I mean, it is fun to watch and see how it goes, but you can't do challenges anymore and you're on the sidelines and you're kind of bummed. And so, and he kept pushing me. He's like, why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? And he wouldn't let it go. So finally I did it. And it was 3 years ago because we didn't have it last year due to COVID. I hosted an event at my house called Survivor Palooza where I invited some survivors and some fans and people I met through Survivor Challenge. And we did that. We set up, everyone brought challenges and we went through them and we kind of kept score and kept a winner. And we did it again, not for COVID. And then we just did it at John's house, actually, because it was more central. And Andy, you, I believe, were invited to that, but couldn't come.
Yeah, no, I very much wanted to come, but it was my wife's 50th birthday that day.
Well, yeah, it's a hard sell to miss that one. But it's just so fun. So I would encourage anyone listening or anyone from their season. Like, I know that people get together with reunions, but that was a fabulous thing. And it's something you can do. It's just so easy. Like, the challenges literally can be like, you know, balance a ping pong ball on a paddle. You know, some people have these humongous, elaborate challenges, as you can imagine. So I'm trying to think of Survivor Challenge alumni that have come. The Bells came 1 year with their kids. So they are just fabulous. They were super creative. And then John, of course, Matea, like, people were FedExing these huge boxes to my house of like these real elaborate challenges. Ryan, Jack Adkins, so then survivors were Timbertina came, Jimmy T, Bob Crowley, Kathy Dubar. We had a big Maine contingent come down this year. Keith Medeiros is a Survivor alum from the season, four? And I guess it just speaks to the friendships and the gratefulness I have from this game for giving me these people and keeping that going. And if anybody wants to do their own Survivor Palooza, feel free to poach that idea, because it's super fun.
Yeah, it's funny. John and I tend to debrief all things Survivor, and he loves talking about those events because, you know, not only does he get to field test possible challenge elements for our game, but he gets to learn about new ones and, you know, gets to just have fun with an awesome group of people. And it's funny. I remember the first time I joined the production team up at the Crowley's farm, once I had joined the production side, and we were just sitting around and painting some stuff and working, you know, through some challenge elements. And, you know, at some point, John noticed I had gone a little bit quiet, and he was asking why. And I was just like, I'm looking around at everybody, and I feel like it's the first time when it comes to Survivor where I feel like I'm surrounded by people who get me. And that's what happens with Survival Challenge. Like, these are your people. Like, if you care about the game enough and the people who play it enough to want to bring this thing to life and share it with other people, like getting together for a Survivor Palooza, it's like, I get to be among my people for a while and do challenges and, you know, talk about Survivor stuff without people wondering why I'm talking about Survivor again. I was both very happy that you guys all did that again this year, finally post COVID, but also intensely jealous because, you know, it's been a while since we've been with our people.
Yeah. Well, maybe next time. So I do, as you wrap up, I do want to thank I don't mean to completely just hold 2018 disdain. William filming it, and Kirk for that. Oh my gosh, my 10-hour drive home. I got to I sort of set up my phone for the podcast, and it made the 10 hours go so quickly, you know, because I was able to watch the remainder of the game. Are you having him back this year to do his Facebook Live?
Yes, yes.
So good. He's so, so good at commenting. I mean, that was just riveting. So, and I know Sandra watched it because she was commenting. So when you have the queen tuning into your show, you're doing something right, right?
Yep.
And then just had some cool players on that season. Like, I think Dion was absolutely a riot and a blast. And it's too bad he's from Australia because, maybe he'll get an Australian Survivor. And thank you. Jen Manning, she was kind of nice to me briefly before she left. And there's a lot of people that I wish I would have met. And then obviously Jack Adkins. And he's gone on to bigger and better things, right? Having done The Circle, which is super cool, actually.
What is that?
Oh, you didn't know?
I mean, I know that, Jack is well known and well loved for pretty much doing anything that comes his way. And I know he went over to Africa to do the game, but I hadn't heard about this particular thing. What is it?
Ah, okay. So Netflix has a reality show called The Circle, and he was on season two of it that just kind of finished airing maybe a month or two ago. It's a sort of a social media only. So there's like, I mean, there's challenges, but it's very different. But anyways, he was on it and has some degree of fame. He's certainly enjoying his new people and his you know, popular time, because he's got 125,000 Instagram followers now. So if that says anything to
you. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It is cool. Trying to think of any other memorable thing. Oh, and obviously, the Jordan and Ian, you know, obviously with, they were just the hosts, you know. Jordan was our handler for our tribe, my season. So I always have a very, very special place in my heart for her. And Heather Bell smuggled us a banana because we were suffering so much on season 2018. So don't hold that against her, but my gosh, that was a muddy, gross starting season.
Yeah, no, we are in general aware that there is some smuggling that goes on in the game. But Lord knows that in season two, Kathy Sleckman was sneaking sandwiches to people. It was wildly out of control, but it's a long history of helping the players.
That even goes on in the real game to an extent. Not me, sadly, but you know, I've heard other survivors tell of a granola bar here and a bite of brownie there, and you know, things happen. You know, but yeah. Now I heard rumors Sleckman's going to come for you guys this year, right?
That is my understanding. You know, obviously things can change last minute, but I'm certainly looking forward to seeing her. I certainly hope so. I mean, the game is just not the same without her calming mint.
Yes. Yeah. Well, she was in Survivor Palooza, obviously, and she has more fun than a barrel of monkeys to any situation. And I believe she was planning on coming, like you say, things come up and situations change. But I hope she comes, and I hope you guys get her. So, William, and I've completely hijacked your podcast, and I apologize. Yeah. Anything that you would like to say, or are you even here still?
Yeah, so let's see. I'm trying to think of what else we haven't talked about. Have you talked a lot about your volunteer experience with Survival Challenge as a whole, and your highlights about your involvement outside of being a player exclusively?
I guess I haven't. That's been really fun to go back. I'm not like a super surprisingly extroverted person, so that is kind of hard for me. I don't actually enjoy that part of it. I'm not good. You know, obviously, if you've got people like Sleckman and Jimmy T working the crowd, they're much, much better at it. So I would actually rather just go and like move things from point A to point B and help out with the, you know, challenges and things like that. But it's something I do because I like to support you guys. Unfortunately, with the timing in the summer, it's just been so much harder for the moving to July 4th and then this weekend didn't work for me, so it'll be a while till I come back, but this is my radar, and I hope to be back someday.
Yeah, well, of course, you are always welcome to come back whenever you can, and we're trying to do a good job with our live streams, so that way when people can't be there physically, they can still be in touch with the game and everything that's going on, and hopefully get some of that good old Survival Challenge energy.
Yes, and I don't think you can hear when I was talking and singing the praises of Kirk, because I think he is fabulous, and it is just riveting to watch that and or listen to it as it happens, and you can totally keep up with the game, and he does such a good job. So Andy did say that he was coming back, so I will definitely be there in spirit and in video this year.
Love that. I guess one cool last thing to leave off of is any suggestions / notes or anything you would say to any of the players coming up to play next month? What would you have to say to them?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I guess I would say that, you know, your gameplay is only limited by your creativity. You know, like, I think that, you know, as we all, and I think you guys will attest this from your game. So you look back and you say, where did I screw up? What could I have done? You know, so moving forward, there's just like no limits, you know, like, can I make an idol? Can I do this? Like, go all out, like, never give up, even when you're down numbers. Really just kind of just play like you play like your life depends on it, because once you're out, it's super not fun. I mean, and it is, you know, because you go back to the are you guys still staying in the dorms?
It's an open question right now.
Okay, okay. Well, if not, the hotel, and then there's games and stuff is fun. But, you know, really just like be like Adam. Pry that, you know, Florida Lee off the podium and maybe it'll work, you know. I know he got a lot of heat for that, but why would you not? You know, why would you not play with that level of intensity? And so I guess that would be my advice is, but then again, you have to temper that. You can't go out there like a screaming meanie. And because so many people play so hard right off the bat, you're first boot, because they're like, all right, this person's obviously a gamer and they're going to get a problem later on. So, you know, there's a little subtlety there, right? With knowing when to play hard and knowing when to back off. So I guess my advice for the people coming in would be to play that perfect game.
Just play perfect. That's all you got to do, guys.
All you have to do is play a perfect game.
Well, and it's funny that you say that, in that one of the things that John and I in particular have worked very hard on over the years is to create opportunities for different kinds of players, so that there is no one perfect game. It's that there are opportunities woven in for, you know, the player who's thinking outside of the box, like you said, make an idol, take a chance on something, where, like, if you think about things in terms of game design and what the possibilities are, you're welcome to try to get inside our heads. We're always trying to stay a few steps ahead, but always look for those opportunities, because we're actively trying to create them so that somebody who's clever or shrewd or opportunistic will have those, you know, opportunities. Just an example of, you know, William can speak to this, but like in his game, you know, we had heard so much from players from the season before his about how they, players were not committing to their initial tribes because, you know, it had been a few seasons where we had had swaps where it's like, oh, well, I'm not going to have to vote any of these people out. And so I don't have to create a pecking order. I don't have to create my alliances yet, because these aren't the people that I'm going to be voting with. And so we eliminated the swap. Can you guys hear me right now? Okay, because I think William dropped out. But I totally lost my train of thought. Yeah, we took the swap out because so that they would have to vote these people out. And the expectation was that shrewd and aware players would start to realize, wait a minute, we're sticking with each other a lot longer than we were expecting. I need to be ready for all possibilities, including having to vote with these people. Keeping everybody on their toes, because, you know, that perfect game means needing to be adaptable and be ready for anything that we might throw at you, because that's what we're trying to do with, as you know, with 5 days, as much complexity as we can get in there without overwhelming people. So
yeah, and that's the crux of Survivor, and that mirrors the real game, because now you have like fire token, and it's, you know, so evolved that, you know, you always do have to keep, you know, changing it up, I guess, if you will. So I think that's wonderful. So best of luck this season. I'll be watching with Vigor. Make sure you guys get on and do interviews yourself too. Andy, William, you know, turn the camera back on yourself. I want to hear what Ryan has to say. You know, I think that is something that don't be afraid for you guys to get in there too, because you've seen so much. And I think you guys should have, I don't know, what, or like a round table sum up every day. I mean, I know you're tired, and I know Mike has said you guys get to bed at 2 a.m. and stuff, but that would be interesting, even in the retrospect, to, you know, put that out on YouTube and film some of these things as it's evolving, maybe not put it on there at the time, or maybe, I don't know, but I think that would be an interesting thing to see.
That's a great thought about, you know, it's straddling that line of like, we can't overshare too much. We've had incidents in the past where people have known too much and then word has spread to people in the game. But, you know, inner workings are always interesting. And obviously I'm grateful for William doing these podcasts, which give people some inside intel. But if it were to happen sooner than, you know, years after you played the game, it might be more helpful to them.
All right. Well, guys, thank you for having me on, and I will be in touch with each of you individually over different things.
All right. Well, Dr. Jill, truly always a pleasure. You remain one of my favorites, and can't wait to see you again. And I'll pass your hellos along to Bentley.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye.